With glad and open hearts after that magnificent anthem, let us hear Paul's word from God's word through Paul to the Galatians. He writes, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." This is the word of the Lord. Today is the first time Al and I have been able to worship with you since Baron Mullis's final Sunday as your pastor, and since the loving and beautiful send-off you gave him that day. I'm here in the pulpit on this special Sunday, not because I was chosen to lead in worship at this interesting turning point in the life of the Morningside congregation, but simply because Emma called me some weeks, if not months ago, not long after Baron's departure, wondering if I would preach sometime. And given our travel schedule, which is a little complicated, it turned out that September the 30th was the Sunday that we would be in town and that I could be here. And so it is just a blessing and a happy coincidence that I, given my deep love and respect for this congregation, which I served for almost 6 years as pastor, to be back and to celebrate with you this moment of promise. I will say that coming to Morningside in 2010 was the beginning of one of the most blessed times ever in my life and certainly in my ministry. There are not words to describe how much affection and respect I have for this congregation and what confidence I have today, in your future. You're a strong church with a great heritage. Your ministries, your identity, they're firmly in place, and I am sure that you are going to go from strength to strength. And I'm not just blowing smoke today. I'm telling you what is deep in my heart. I do know, however, that a time of change can be a time that can produce a little bit of anxiety. That which has been is over, and that which is about to be hasn't quite started yet, and you're at this liminal place where who knows what's going to happen. I remember that old story. I'm probably going to tell a couple that a few of you might have heard before from back in the day about the young fellow who went off to college for the first time. Now, this was back in the Ice Age when there were no emails or cell phones. So his parents eagerly awaited a call on the landline, if you remember those, or at least a letter in the mailbox. Not a word. Weeks passed. Finally, they received a telegram from their son. It read, "Dear Mom and Dad, start worrying, details to follow." So I have two great reasons why you should not start worrying. I could give a review of all the great, strong, and lasting characteristics of this community of faith, but I have to tell you, my reasons for you not to worry have very little to do with you. The reason not to worry is the promise-making, promise-keeping nature of the God who called this congregation into being in the first place. You wouldn't be here were it not for God's hand at work. You would not have survived the ups and downs and all arounds of your history of the years since 1925 were it not for the faithfulness of God to you. One thing that happens in a congregation, particularly when people love the church as much as I know you love this church, is that you talk about the church all the time. Morningside, the future of Morningside. Who's going to be the preacher at Morningside? What's going to happen at Morningside? Look, where does the steeple on the roof point? It points up to God. This church exists not to call attention to itself, but to draw people into the presence and the reality of the living God here. So don't just think about this church as an end unto itself. It's here only to glorify God, and it's here only because of God's faithfulness to you. The cross revealing the journey God was willing to take, the journey God was willing to take for your sake into this world, all the way to the cross, so that we might have life, an abundant life. And those of us who've been blessed into being baptized into that great tradition, it's our job, our privilege, to share the good news of Christ in our time and place. It's not about what a great church Morningside is. Your future is about the greatness of God. In today's reading from Isaiah, the Hebrew people are about to undergo a big transition. They have been in Babylon, not the best place to be, and about to go home, thanks to the forgiving grace of God. They had really messed up, and the Lord had sent them into exile. But now the Lord is saying, we're going now into a fresh future full of promise. And you would think, with that prospect ahead of them, that the Hebrew people would be happy as clams. But no, hand-wringing took the place of happiness and hopeful expectation. What will the journey be like? Will we get lost along the way? Will the wild animals eat us? Any bad thing could happen. If you don't know what exactly is going to happen, it's easy to let worry and anxiety take up all the room in your heart. I can identify a little bit with this. I can work up a good worry over just about anything. I can wake up at 3 a.m. and have been known to do so, rolling out various possible scenarios of bad things that could happen. Whether it's a heart attack at 4 a.m. or our children being in an accident or whatever. And Al, who is not a worrier, will say, Joanna, remember, everything doesn't have to turn out badly some things turn out just fine. And then there is that aspect of our faith that I try to hold on to for dear life sometime when things aren't working so well and the news is not good and the car runs into the guardrail, so to speak. I have discovered throughout my life that God will give me what I need when I need it to get through whatever it is I need to get through. And it is the same with you. I'm wearing the stole that this congregation gave me in 2010 on my last Sunday as your pastor. On the first anniversary of my ministry here, September 2004, I was given a beautiful white stole. And thanks to several gentlemen in our choir, they had embroidered on the end, on the inside of the first stole, this one says, "Joanna Adams, we welcome all to the table." The first one says, "My favorite Bible verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You can take that to the bank, my friends. You'll find out. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So, what does the Lord say in his irritation, really, at the Hebrew people? He says two things. One, remember. Don't forget that I'm the Lord. I'm the Holy One who created you in the first place. And don't forget how when you were being liberated through because of my love from Egypt, how it was that I made in the river Jordan, or the Red Sea. It was the Red Sea, wasn't it? In the Red Sea, I parted the waters. You know, I would have failed that on my ordination exam. How I parted the waters and made dry land right in the middle. Don't forget that I did that. This time, I'm going to do even more. So remember what I have done. Remember that it is I, the Lord, said, who made you, and not you yourselves. And the second thing is to begin today. It's all about today and tomorrow. It's not about going around, back around 1,000 times. I remember there had been a little mess or two here at Morningside when I got here, and at a session meeting, I remember thinking to myself, we're not going to go through that dirty clothes basket anymore and talk about the stuff that has happened that maybe wasn't so great. We're going to get rid of that because it's about today and tomorrow and who we are now and what God wants us to do and be and think. And so it came to be. It's about today and tomorrow. Behold, the Lord says, I'm doing a new thing. It's bursting forth right now even. Can't you see it? I feel it this morning among you, little shoots of the new already coming up. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. This time, trust me, you will find rivers running in the desert. You will be provided for whatever you need because I need you to be my people. I need you to be my people. You know, God is so godlike. God could have done it any way possible. I still don't understand why God decided to rely on a group of fallible people to be the Lord's witnesses to bear the good news of Christ's salvation. You remember the story of Jesus when he was resurrected and how he went to heaven and the angels and the archangels welcomed him so royally and said, well, how are things on earth? And Jesus said, well, I've entrusted the whole ball game to my followers. And Michael, the archangel, went nuts. He said, you left it all in their hands? And God said, that was my plan all along. I had no other plan. God can be trusted. And I hope God can trust us. So, as I come to a close, I want to say a word about Journey Together. In your beautiful new strategic plan, you have the title Journey Together. Is it a noun or is it an adverb? Is it a noun or a verb? Journey. We go on a journey. But the way you've put it in your plan, it sounds as if journey is a verb. It's about movement. It is about going from today to tomorrow. And where are we going? We're going to the fulfillment of all of God's promises, that there will come a day when all things will be made new for our congregations, for our country. I don't know what's happening here with the sound. Can you hear me or am I? It's probably time for me just to sing my solo, don't you think? We are moving toward the reign of God. The place where, as Jesus described it so well, and so important to hear this after this wretched week we've had as a country, with so much animus and so much anger, so much distrust. Here's what we're after, and here's what God's after, at least if you can believe Jesus. He taught them, saying, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they are the ones who shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. If there were ever a time for the people of God to witness to an alternative reality of God's will for this world, it is here and now. Paul says, in Christ, we're all one. There's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free. And here in Morningside, we're not Democrats and Republicans, though we are. What we are people who gather in need of the grace of Christ. And there is not a person in this world who is not in need of the grace of Christ. I read recently of a bulletin blooper where the the bulletin advertised this. Our church will be holding an evening of fine dining, superb entertainment, and gracious hostility. We're going to disagree. If we had a little chat today about Judge Kavanaugh and the wonderful, wonderful woman who's been so brave. We would not be on the same page. But we're here because we all care about truth. And the truth will set us free. And I don't know where else you go except to hear the gospel of Christ, to be a part of a community of moral discourse where you can disagree, but you don't ever, ever, ever need to be ugly. There is no room for ugliness in the body of Christ. There's room for truth. There's room for disagreement. But never ugliness. Never meanness. There was not a single day that Jesus Christ was ever mean. We journey together. And we're not a closed community. I have a beautiful, beautiful painting on my wall that hung in my study here. It's of people gathered in a circle of joy, and they're holding candles. And coming toward them is a whole universe of people carrying their own light to join the circle of light. It's not that we possess the light. It's that we are here to invite all people who are looking for hope and a new way of being in the world to come together. In Christ, we are all children of God. Through faith. So I close with this, I promise. This is my last point. But I found myself thinking last night about something that I shared many times during my years as a parish minister, always around the first of the year. But at this cusp of a new moment in the life of Morningside, I wanted to share it one more time with you. In 1939, King George VI gave a Christmas address to England. England was at war, and on the BBC, he gave a speech to encourage his people through those challenging times. And in that speech, he shared a poem by a British poet named Minnie Louise Haskins. And that poem had been given to him by his daughter Elizabeth, who was 13 years old at the time. And here's what the poet wrote. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. That shall be to you better than the light and safer than the known way." Our future
yours and mine. Our futures are secure. Why? Because they are in the hands of God, to whom belong all the praise and glory, now and forever. Amen.